Hello everyone, this is Deidre and I'm happy to be filling in for Corinne tonight, who's not available to be reading the course with us, but she'll be back with us next week and we will miss her, of course, but we're so happy to be together spending this time looking over A Course in Miracles. And I'll just let everybody know where we're at in the different editions. So tonight we are looking at, let me just check again, in the Sparkle edition we are on page 338, the section The Shift to Miracles. And I will just also let everyone know the corresponding sections in the other editions. So it is checking Corinne's awesome notes. The original edition is chapter 14. It's also called The Shift to Miracles. And the FIP edition is chapter 14, the section entitled The Equality of Miracles. So, as we always do, we'll be reading a little bit of each section and stopping for discussion as we go along. And if I seem a little discombobulated, we had a power outage here, and so I had to kind of find my spot again and get everything working, and it seems to be okay now, so we'll just go on from here. So, the shift to miracles. When no perception stands between God and his creations, or between his children and their own, the knowledge of creation must continue forever. The reflections which you accept into the mirror of your mind in time, but bring eternity nearer or farther, but eternity itself is beyond all time. Reach out of time and touch it with the help of its reflection in you, and you in turn from time to holiness, as sure as the reflection of holiness calls everyone to lay all guilt aside. Reflect the peace of heaven here and bring this world to heaven, for the reflection of truth draws everyone to truth, and as they enter into it, they leave all reflections behind. In heaven, reality is shared and not reflected. By sharing its reflection here, its truth becomes the only perception the Son of God accepts, and thus remembrance of his Father dawns on him, and he can no longer be satisfied with anything but his own reality. You on earth have no conception of limitlessness, for the world you seem to live in is a world of limits. In this world, it is not true that anything without order of difficulty can occur. The miracle, therefore, has a unique function and is motivated by a unique teacher who brings the laws of another world to this one. The miracle is the one thing you can do that transcends order, being based not on differences but on equality. And I'll pause there for a moment. Isn't that beautiful?
Wow. Yes.
Yes, it is.
That's a lot to take in.
It is. There's something just so moving about the very beginning of the passage where it says, knowledge of creation between his children and their own. Knowledge and creation must continue forever. It must continue forever. It there's just something so comforting in that for me. And in heaven, reality is shared.
Perception is the problem. And really, that's the whole point of getting quiet, you know, and trying to just be in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's the human condition. We think that, you know, we have all these things to do and places to be and things to accomplish, and we often get so busy with that chatter that we become distracted, we just forget temporarily that, you know, heaven is now. You know, heaven, those heavenly moments are in the present moment.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Amanda, and then Paul after.
Oh, it's Meg.
Oh, sorry, Meg.
That's okay. I was going to say, I love, like, on chapter 2, verse 4, you on earth have no conception of limitlessness. The
mm-hmm.
world you seem to live in is a world of limits. That is just so amazing to me that unless I experience limitlessness, which I've never experienced, there's no way I have any point of reference, because I'm here in this limited world. But the real world is limitless. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome point, Meg, too, because I know, like, in my conversations with God and stuff, I'm constantly being shown that limitations are only of our own beliefs. So it's always about taking our beliefs to the Holy Spirit and being shown what is possible. You know, if you had asked me just a little time ago if I would be doing what I'm doing right now and about to embark on moving away and doing a master's degree, I would have said, you're nuts. And, you know, I kept checking in with Spirit on the way through the process. You know, should I be applying to other schools? And the symbol that I think I mentioned on the call once before about JFK was an owl. And so I kept being told to wait by seeing these owls everywhere. And literally, you know, it was something I asked for as a sign to between my holy self to let me know to keep going on this path. And I have never had so many encounters with owls before this experience. and just
that's
like
beautiful.
all of the little things, you know, lining up. It's it's honestly, I'm not doing anything. This is already predetermined, predecided, and I'm just lining up with what's already been decided.
I love that.
Yeah, an example, since we're talking about limitations, is I had not heard anything for a couple of months, and near, you know, before my interview, the Taz was trying to get in there and be like, you know, you haven't heard anything. It's been a long time. Maybe, you know, you aren't following your guidance correctly. And I had my graduation ceremony from my previous college, and the same day. I got home that day from my graduation ceremony, and there was an email from the dean just checking in with me, saying that the dean wanted to do a follow-up with me on the day of my graduation. Now, that is not an accident, because I felt like I was walking through a door that was closing into a new direction,
right,
of a door that was opening for me.
Right, right.
And I got home from that, got the message from the dean, and I had my interview the following Monday. Mm-hmm. And what happened when I got on the phone with him was he basically just said, you know, how are you doing? I remember from our first conversation that you seem to be a really strong candidate for our program. Mm. And I said, well, actually, I talked to Charlotte, who was one of the people in registration, and she let me know that I would be contacted for an interview soon, and the dean kind of stopped in his tracks, and he said, oh, you know, you're right. Like, I have a note on your file that we haven't contacted you for an interview yet. Would you be available to do it right now? And I said, sure, I'll do it right now. So we did it right then and there, and she had already told me before my interview to expect there to be a week waiting period between when the interview is over and when they make their decision for admittance. And we finished the interview, and he stopped at the end, and he said, well, I just have to, without me saying anything, I didn't say, I didn't ask, you know, I didn't say anything, but he just volunteered, you know, I feel very confident in telling you that you're going to receive my recommendation for admission. And I didn't even have to wait the week, so yeah, so that was,
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
So, and it also happened to be on the same day of Corinne's meditation class, so she just happened to be the first person I got to share the news with, which just felt divine too. So thanks, Corinne. So
beautiful.
I think Paul wanted to share something too.
Oh, I forgot. Go ahead, Paula. I can't remember what I was going to say.
You know, in this whole conversation, though, you know, I think you're always coming from that place of I don't know, and I think that's where the real power comes. You know, because when we think we know how it should be, it's just really getting in the way of the whole of God's process, because God knows what's best for us.
Mm-hmm.
And look at how this is unfolding. I mean, it's amazing.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's really interesting that you mentioned that, Paula, because I have been in situations in my life prior to this where I felt like I knew what was best for me. So that would come up a lot in this process. So that was one of the reasons why I was constantly checking in with Spirit to make sure that I was following my guidance, because I didn't want to, you know, be thinking that I knew and setting myself up to be, you know, to feel pain when I don't need to. I just want to follow God's will. That's all I want to do. So, but I've definitely been in that space where I've, you know, gone off course because I thought I knew, you know, what was best.
Yeah.
And it's a really easy thing to do,
those times are also, I mean, I think we've talked about this a lot lately, how that contrast is not a bad thing. You know, it really isn't. It, it just makes me more confident that I don't know and that God does know. So, but it's temperamental, you know. You kind of have to. I just think things become effortless accomplishment when we can maintain, you know, the just try to be in the present moment and really let Him lead the way.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I had an experience just in that same vein. It was this past week, and it was just prior to my waking up in the twilight. Things like so many things happened during that time. And Deidre, when you're saying that you just wanted to do God's will, I had that experience that all I wanted to do was God's will, and I was just filled up with that, and nothing else mattered other than that.
Yeah.
And that lasted, it didn't last a long time, I'm sorry to say, but it might have lasted 5 minutes, but I was just totally absorbed in it. There was nothing else mattered to me other than doing God's will. I mean, I can't really explain it. It was just like a love or a peace or a releasing of all the things that, all the activities that I'm attached to in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said that, I thought, just what a blessing, like, to feel that way. And I was just totally consumed by that, for however that short amount of time. And then the rest of my day came in, and then I started thinking Meg thoughts, you know, what I have to do.
Right.
I have to do this, and I have to do that. I mean, it was kind of sad. But I'm sure that that'll come back to me, because that's in me someplace. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I really know what you're saying. And I think, you know, you said that it felt like the feeling of peace only lasted something like 5 minutes. But
mm-hmm.
because there is actually not time and space the way that we believe that there is, I know that it's much longer than that, because that's all that we are. That's the truth of what we are. The other stuff is just a distraction.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah.
And on the bright side, that's 5 minutes than most people get. Like 5 minutes more than most people get.
I like that too.
Very true. Thank you. Okay, so maybe we'll just keep moving forward. Miracles are not in competition, and the number of them that you can do is limitless. They can be simultaneous and legion. This is not difficult to understand once you conceive them as possible at all. What is more difficult to grasp is the lack of order of difficulty, which stamps the miracle as something that must come from elsewhere, not from here. From the world's viewpoint, this is impossible. You have experienced lack of competition among your thoughts, which, even though they may conflict, can occur to you together and in great numbers. You are so used to this that it can cause you little surprise. Yet you are also used to classifying some of your thoughts as more important, larger, or better, wiser, and more productive and valuable than others. And this is true about the thoughts which cross the mind of those who think they live apart. For some are reflections of heaven, while others, motivated by the ego, which but seems to think the result, is wavering, changing pattern which never rests, and is never still. It shifts unceasingly across the mirror of your mind, and the reflection of heaven lasts but a moment and grow dim as darkness blots them out. Where there was light, darkness removes it in an instant. An altering pattern of light and darkness sweep constantly across your mind. The little sanity which still remains is held together by a sense of order which you establish. Yet the very fact that you can do this... Oh, sorry, I lost my spot.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, guys.
And bring any order. Page 340.
Yeah, it's just my computer.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I should have just done the FIP edition tonight.
Maybe it's just spirit telling us to slow down since there was so much there to
Yeah, maybe. Talk about. Thanks, Paul. Okay, the little sanity which still remains is held together by a sense of order in which you establish. Yet the very fact that you can do this and brings any order into chaos shows you that you are not an ego, and that more than an ego must be in you. For the ego is chaos, and if it were all of you, no order at all would be possible. Yet through the order which you impose upon your minds limit the ego, it also limits you. To order is to judge, and to arrange by judgment. It will seem difficult for you to learn that you have no basis at all for ordering your thoughts. This lesson the Holy Spirit teaches by giving you shining examples to show that your way of ordering is wrong, but that a better way is offered you. And I'm going to pause there. Wow. All I have to say is I totally agree with everything in that section. Because, man, can you ever slide down the banister when the thoughts are just going a million miles an hour? And it is chaos until you invite spirit in. For a different way of looking at it.
Hey, family. Good evening.
Hey, Carla. How are you?
Hey, well, thank y'all. Thanks again for holding up the light, family, for me. I just wanted to know where we're reading from.
Which edition do you have, Carla?
I have FIP.
Okay. So we're in chapter 14 of the FIP edition. And the chapter or the section is called The Equality of Miracles.
Okay.
And we're sort of, Meg, are you in the FIP edition too? Because I'm in the Sparkle, so it's a little bit different. Is there a number before
yeah.
the written paragraph?
It's a couple of sentences into six.
Okay, thanks. Did anything come up for anybody that they wanted to share in these passages?
I think for me, the only, when I was reading about there not being an order to thoughts and that we're the ones who give it order, I've been doing that in the workbook recently, and mm-hmm. I never really understood it until I was doing the stuff in the workbook and had to become, like, aware of it in that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it does seem like, oh, okay, well, this stuff matters to me more, and I got to prioritize over here, and, you know, it gets kind of crazy until you realize none of it matters, I guess, for lack of a better term. So that was what came up for me, just because I've been doing that particular part in the workbook recently.
Mm-hmm. The part about the ego is chaos, and the order in which you impose upon your mind limits the ego is also limited in you. To order is to judge, and to arrange by judgment will seem difficult for you until you have learned to see no basis at all for ordering your thoughts. It just reminds me of one of those really early workbook lessons that talks about you have created all meaning everything has.
Yes.
And it really, like, spirit doesn't look at anything that we have created the way that we do. If it's not love, it isn't real.
Right.
So, I don't know, that just came up for me.
And that really resonated with me, too, an awful lot. And when it says, where the ego is chaos.
Yeah.
And if it's, where all of you, no order at all would no order at all would be possible. And I think that's so good.
Yeah.
That's the ego is not all of us. It's not every part of us. It's just sometimes it takes center stage. But that's not who we are.
Exactly. Thank God.
I agree.
That line, the little sanity which still remains is held together by a sense of order which you establish. It seems to me that's our ability to choose for the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Does that?
Absolutely.
Because I know when I'm in chaos and I remember, oh, I don't have to think less.
Mm.
You know, I can call upon the Holy Spirit and ask for a better way of looking at this.
Thanks,
I mean, the shift just is amazing. There was something going on. I can't even remember what it was right now, but I was getting a state yesterday, walking around feeling really miserable. And I think the gray day, too, added to that. It was so nasty here. And I realized, what am I doing? You know, and I asked for help. Immediately, I asked for help. And I got it immediately. And I can't even remember what the situation was now. I mean, that's how it's like taken from you when you really want that to happen, you know? But I think you got to really want it to happen.
Oh, that's so key what you just said, Paula, that you have to really want it to happen because there's the part of our mind that doesn't want to wake up, wants to stay in conflict. You know, there's part of our mind that enjoys the struggle. And so it takes a willingness to be really honest when we're in those moments. I was in a moment earlier today where I was letting my mind sort of wander about financial stuff. And I felt completely chaotic. I wasn't peaceful at all. I was just like, you know, it was just going nuts. Taz was going nuts. And I was just like, wait a minute. This is a sign for me to stop. This is a sign for me to go take a bath, meditate, do something else.
Yeah. Yep.
So I ended up pulling some angel cards, and it was spirit basically telling me, like, you've done so much work already. Stop worrying about this.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. And after that, it was like a total shift.
You know what, Deidre? I think working with this material over time, when I start to feel chaotic, it feels unnatural. At one time, it felt totally natural. But it doesn't feel natural to me anymore. And it's from working with this Course in Miracles. That's what it is. It really uprights your mind. All this stuff is upside down thinking, and it turns it around. I mean, you become so much more aware of how crazy this is, you know, this unnatural thinking.
I think what you just hit on, Paula, is so, like, I've noticed for me, and please anyone else chime in too, but, like, you can't tolerate the discomfort anymore. The feeling of lack of peace. It's just not acceptable, at least for me. I don't want to say
that. Abraham Hicks talked about that too.
Yeah.
True.
I think I can relate to that on some level, or at least what happens with me is that I've become more acutely aware of when something's off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
And then I can kind of like it doesn't take me as long to notice anymore, I think is what I'm trying to get at.
Exactly.
And maybe it's kind of the same thing. Like, maybe that's a form of it not feeling natural, but for me at least it's gotten to a point where where it used to take me like a few days to be like, what is going on here, right? Now sometimes it's like right in the moment when I notice it. I wish I were like that more often. But
so it's that you've developed through the course clarity.
Yeah.
And discernment.
Yeah, and I keep thinking of my clients, because I do like business coaching and stuff like that, and I teach them course principles. They just don't know I'm doing that. And and I see the examples of like these people coming to me, and like they get crazy worked up over some of like the smallest things, right? And then I remember thinking, oh my god, that was me like 4 or 5 years ago before I found this work, and now that stuff doesn't faze me anymore.
Yeah.
So true. That's a good point.
Yeah. I just, for the little piece that I encountered and created today, it just made me laugh too, because it was a reminder that I've already experienced so many miracles that I don't need to get caught up in the details of how something materializes. I can just let go and trust. Because it's happened so many times that I don't need to get pulled into worrying about these things anymore.
That's a good point.
The wonderful thing is, really, when we do fall back, and, you know, it seems to come and go, the Holy Spirit, there is not a moment when the Holy Spirit is not there to help us make that shift.
Yeah.
And I think that contrast really brings, you know, that the discomfort and the contrast that comes just makes you want to call on the Holy Spirit even more. You know, oh, that's what I forgot to do.
Yeah.
Help.
Does anyone else feel uncomfortable in the presence of other people's discomfort? Like, it feels because it feels unnatural to you, then when you kind of know that someone else is going through it, then that feels unnatural to you, too.
I'm not really understanding what you... What are you saying?
Like, for example, like with my clients, for example, I know for that if at the end of the day I don't decompress, like, I'm just going to take all their stuff with me. Like, it's really, like, they're in their ego mind, for example, which I know that if you're noticing them in your ego mind, then you're in your own. But what I've come to notice in my practice, at least, is I have no tolerance for other people's discomfort, I think. I have no tolerance for other people's fear, almost. Like, I don't want to be around it.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense now?
Yes.
For
that
me,
can be challenging.
It can be. For me, I just take whatever seems to be happening and give it to Holy Spirit. Because I used to be, like, really taking on other people's stuff. That was a really big one for me. And I've just learned to not do that to the extent. I'm not perfect at it, but I've really improved in terms of being able to let people have their experience. Because I trust now that whatever seems to be happening is divinely ordained. So even if it seems like something's completely falling apart for someone, there's a divine blessing in that.
Yeah. I think maybe because I've heard of this happening before, is when you do this kind of work, you become more sensitive to, like, energies and stuff like that. And I think that's kind of what I have going on, and I'm starting to notice it.
Yeah.
You know what I also think? I think that the Course works on people at the level that they're at, and it keeps working and changing. So where you are now, it's appropriate for you because it's what you need right now to kind of like feel that this discomfort. But it doesn't mean that you'll forever be there, or maybe you will, but it's the Course working appropriately, I think, in each person. Because I know when I'm around people who are behaving the way I used to behave, the feeling I have for them is kind of like sympathy, and also I also have a little bit of feeling of joy that I'm not there anymore, but also a little bit of eagerness that where I am is, you know, just a small step in the way to where I'm, where I'll actually be heading up eventually. Not that I'll ever reach the ultimate, because I think you just get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So I think each person's experience has the shade of their own personality and how the Holy Spirit is working in that person.
That's a nice way of looking at it.
Yeah. I think what you said is beautiful, Meg. And just to add to that, I feel, because I've definitely experienced something very similar to what you're describing, and when I would notice discomfort coming up in terms of what another person was experiencing, and I'll use a family member for an example, I've been extremely sensitive before in terms of being around family who are experiencing sadness or different kinds of emotions, experience going on in their life. And I used to really take that on to the extent that I would wonder, you know, if there was something that I could do to make it better, until I took it to Spirit, and then I was given the guidance that the reason I was feeling uncomfortable was that I felt that I was responsible for fixing it.
That's interesting.
And so once I learned that, then I was like, well, okay, I'm not responsible for someone else being happy.
It's hard with family, though.
Yeah. But if I'm willing to suffer because someone else seems to be suffering, then what am I investing in?
Yeah.
That's not love. I'm not being loving if I'm taking on someone else's suffering and making it real.
You know, there's also this notion, I get very, when I'm in that situation and I'm with people who are maybe behaving insanely, I'm not taking prisoners. They're free. They are absolutely free to behave any way they want. I don't have to. I can separate. I can, you know, and bring the Holy Spirit into those situations. Oh, man, things just shift right before your eyes. I mean, it's amazing when I remember to do that. I don't always remember to do that. but really, there's a freedom issue there, it seems to me. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense.
Because who the hell are we to say? Everybody has their off moments, you know? And if I can open my heart to someone in an off moment and bring the Holy Spirit into that, you know, not in any verbal way, you know, it's just opening my own mind and calling upon it in my own mind.
That's beautiful.
There's only one of us here. People get it.
Yeah.
And I think they feel safe with you, you know, when you can remember to do that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so I think, go ahead.
Because similar to this, there's like one relationship in particular where it's family, where I'm having kind of rough time, and I know that material like this could help, but that they wouldn't be open to it.
Right.
So I kind of have like this internal struggle going on of like, oh, I know something that can help, but I also know you wouldn't like it.
I think that's where just extending the love, that's all you can do, and just know that they're where they are, and they just, you know, if we do that, then it might help them figure it out faster.
Yeah, and I know they're going through a really big change in their life, and I'm very compassionate. They're family, so I'm very compassionate, and sometimes I'm just like, God, I just want to throw this book at you so you can read it, like, you know.
But you know what? I think, because I spoke about this last week, I think what is helpful in situations like that, because I have struggles with my family, too. I'm on the lessons, and I mentioned it last week. I'm on the lessons. I haven't started the text yet, and I'm really enjoying the text on the call. But after I've read my lesson, I go back and I read the table of contents for the lesson, and I read it reflecting on what's actually going on with me in my life, and it actually helps shifts the view off of the person, and it brings it to me. I don't know if I'm saying that in an understandable way.
Yeah, and now that you said that, I'm going to call myself out here because I just noticed it. I think a part of me is like, even though I'm being the example, a part of me is expecting them to change as a result of it, and I can't do that.
Yeah.
I just noticed that, so I'm going to call myself out.
Well, I think if people don't mind my sharing too, like, I think when I was talking about my experience with a family member earlier, I spent a good portion of time as a course student, you know, like kind of wishing that I could have this certain family member more involved with the Course in Miracles, and wishing that the family member would kind of seem like they would accept me as an intuitive healer, and, you know, that we could have conversations on the same wavelength. And I just got to the point that having that thought system, having those expectations and wanting that from the family member was causing me pain that I didn't need to be experiencing, and I was creating.
Mm.
And I just said, Holy Spirit, here you go. Like, you have this relationship. You're in charge of this relationship. If it falls out of my life, it falls out of my life. If we bond more, we bond more. And it's not that, you know, the relationship has fallen out of my life. It's evolved. And I feel like I'm able to be where I'm at, and the other person is able to be where they're at. And they're not really involved with the course, but it doesn't matter. And actually, when I posted about my interview and being accepted, she basically said something that was course related. She basically told me I was already perfect, which is the essence of Course in Miracles, but she's not a course student, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what the point I'm trying to make is everything is already decided, and what I have already been able to learn as a result of having this specific relationship in my life has helped me to grow as a person, accept myself, and not be dependent on a family member accepting me in terms of loving myself.
Excellent.
Does that make sense?
That sure does.
So if everything, even though it doesn't seem like it at the time, is like a total blessing. So
I love it.
Beautiful.
I needed to hear that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we're at the top of the hour already. I don't know how that happened, but
it went fast.
Yeah.
It did.
So
have a wonderful week.
You too. Love you all.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you. Bye.
Bye, family.
Bye.
Thank you for your service, Deidre.
You're welcome. Lots of love, Carla.
Oh, love you too, my sister.
Okay.
Be well.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, I want to talk on, I want to be hanging up on me. I'm trying to hang up on it.